Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Economically Yours. I'm your host, Charmi Shah, and today I have with me Mr. Parag Saraya, who's the CEO, project CEO at RiskMG, one of the biggest builders at Mumbai, if I have to, you know, say so. And he has had a wide range of experience when it comes to being in the real estate. He's worked with Kalpataru, he's worked with Suntech Realty, and so on. But before, you know, I speak more about you, Parag, welcome on board. Welcome to Economically Yours. I am delighted to host you today. Can we begin with your journey and your experience so far?
Sure. So thank you, Charmi, for inviting and having me on your podcast. So I am a Mumbai boy, if I can say so, born and brought up here, especially first 20 years. And after that, I've been to places, did my engineering from Pune, worked in Chennai for 3-4 years, came back to Bombay, went to US, then to London, back to Bombay. I did spend about 5 to 6 years in a tier 2-3 town called Belgaum, which is on the northern part of Karnataka. That's where I learned a lot of real estate. Came back to Mumbai about, I would say, 2017. So it's been 7 years. And I think real estate is something which I really love. And I can see myself doing something in real estate till the day I die.
Okay, great, great. But why real estate? Like you mentioned that you were in a tier 2-3 city, right? And that's where you started your journey into the real estate. What was that one click that made you think that, you know, this is the industry I want to be in?
So I'll tell you, I've done my studies in 90s, and engineering and then MBA. So typical path, at least at that point of time, is engineering. I was very good at. I'm actually a computer engineer, not a civil engineer. So, I was doing business development, sales, account management in IT services. So I was with HCL Technologies and then with Tech Mahindra in UK. And what I found out, you're doing good work, but I said, you know, it's B2B. The work that we are doing, I don't see a smile on my customer. I don't even know who my customer is. So it is we providing certain services, certain work. Yes, there is an end user somewhere who's using their internet or a phone. And so that was one aspect. And second was I really wanted to come back to India. And I was very attracted. I still think India is a very, very good growth story in developed parts, Europe. At least at that point of time, and US, if you could do a GDP of 2%, 3%, you know, they would be excited. Mm-hmm. And we take 6-7% as a granted. Mm-hmm. So when I saw things in Western world, there's a lot of replacement demand, whether it's housing or TV or refrigerator or cars. People were replacing what they had. In India, people did not have it. So if you are a person who likes to create, and real estate was not something which I had selected, I want to do, it just happened. So I said, let me go back to India and do something either in retail or in food or in real estate. It has to be a consumer facing industry. So that was the thought process. And I met some people, they wanted to have somebody who's Indian and wanted to relocate. And it's a long story, but so real estate happened to me. And once it happened, I realized real estate is a lot of common sense. Really, I mean, there is no, in some sense, there is no rocket science. Yes, there's a lot of technology and civil engineering and design and structural. But when you design a home, you are also a home buyer and a home user. So if you understand what are the things that you want in your home, what kind of home you want to buy and live in, that's a starting point. So as long as you keep that thought process first and keep the money second, it's a very intuitive industry. It's an industry where you get to meet people every day. It's an industry where you get to help and improve lives of so many thousands of people. Because home is not just a money and you buy something. Home is where lives are transformed. And I have seen it in my own life. And you know, when you have a couple or a family buy their first home and move in, it's a feeling that you can't describe. And after that, with that social fabric and all the facilities. So that's how it happened. And I can speak about real estate for many hours, many days, but that's how it happened. Just glad to be in India, in a city like Mumbai, at this junction. And I think next 20, 25 years are probably the most exciting in the history of India, including real estate.
Right. So I work in the wealth management industry, right? So we've been seeing an increase, exponential increase with respect to NRIs looking to invest in India. And this itself shows that a lot of people have started believing in the India growth story, as you mentioned today. And that is not possible without India growing on all aspects, including the real estate industry as well. But you mentioned, right, that you looked at talking with customers, you know, seeing a smile on their face with respect to families buying a house or something like that. So could you, you know, dive deep with respect to your current role at Rustom Ji?
So my designation says I'm a project CEO, which means a lot of things. So essentially, the structure at Rustom Ji is that really to get the project executed, implemented end to end. So it starts with the brief when we get a project from a business development point of view, get it designed, you know, in terms of with the architects, with our sales team, get that feedback because every market is different. And from then on to launch, execute, tie up the funding, make sure that the execution as in actual construction happens on time, and as a promise delivery. So really we have 7-8 different teams and we are responsible for profit and loss and also to make sure that there is that common theme across the teams because all the projects are not same. So I'm handling a project where there is a, you know, a flat selling at 2.5 crores. I'm also handling a project where a flat is selling at 25 crores.
Yeah.
Right. So to the theme and the language of the project and really if there are issues, if there is any crisis, if ever, if there are decisions to be made. So I'm a common thread. A lot of people most of the times know what to do when they come across, you know, a particular issue or a decision which they've never really, you know, had dealt with before. That's when I step in and overall. If there's a process set, the job is easy. You know the data points, you know what's falling behind, what's not falling behind, and so on and so forth. And I can tell you the real estate, especially in last 6 to 8 years, have changed every year.
All right.
So it was 2016 was demonetization, 17 was GST and RERA, 2018 was, I think, NBFC crisis, 19 was probably a quiet year. 2020, everybody knows, the whole world was shaking.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought the industry, which will be the most affected real estate, bounced back very well because of a few things. A lot of governments, especially government of Maharashtra and at the center, they took steps to revive it. And most importantly, I can tell you, a lot of consumer understood importance of home. Being caged in a home for months and probably for years with work from home. So most part of 2020 and large part of 2021, people were home. And then that is where, you know, they started saying, I want a better home. I want a bigger home. I want a home with amenities. I don't want just a home. I want a community.
Yeah.
So that resurgence in the whole real estate demand and actually more than demand, the right kind of demand. I had heard a lot of people saying, I'll stay on rent forever. Why do I do this? Do I that? I can make money on this and that. And I think that's a good calculation as a finance guy. But when it's home, you know, there is an emotional connect. And finally, you create wealth for what? To give your family and yourself a good life. And good life starts with a very good home.
Yeah.
So that's been that turning around. And as I said, we all have to be always learning. Nobody in real estate can say, I know everything and I've learned everything. So every year there's a newer challenges in terms of either technology or customer preferences. Sometimes it's a change in regulation. So we just have to keep looking at it, look at the dashboard radar and see what's right, what's wrong. So that's really my role a little fuzzy, but most of the time I say I do very little and I let people do most of the things.
Oh, okay. I mean, being one of those finance guys, right, I am a part of a lot of conversations where we have this Excel sheet in front of us and we always argue whether renting is, all right or buying houses all right. And I think what those Excel sheets cannot calculate is the value of emotions attached to buying a house and the need of, feeling safe. So aptly put on that particular area. You also mentioned about a series of events that have happened in our country, like with respect to RERA and DMON and the things like that across, which affect the real estate industry. So what do you think, where is the industry today in India? How is it spaced?
So if I look at last 3 to 4 years, what has happened was real estate, fortunately or unfortunately, it's very easy, or it was very easy to start a project. Just 2-3 people get together and start, and pre-RERA probably things were not the best for consumer. RERA has brought in a lot of discipline. So what it has done is it has made sure that serious, I'm not talking about large or small, but serious and professional players. You could be a developer who's doing one project at a time. You could be a developer who's doing 13 projects, 20 projects. You could be a 5,000 crore, 2,000 crore or a 20 crore developer. But it basically is saying, be careful on what you're promising and what you promise you deliver, right? So what has happened is share of organized players has increased. You would probably read in a lot of reports and it's bound to increase. So that's, I would say that's one part of what has happened very good. Second, whether we like it or not, there is a lot of migration to the top 5, 6, 10 cities because that's where the job creation is. And again, if you read a lot of report of McKinsey and other, next 20 years, the larger cities will grow larger. We obviously have to develop tier 2 and 3 cities, but these larger cities are growing. And what's very good thing I can tell you, Charmi, is that the metro connectivity.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you the kind of infra development which is happening in at least those large cities that I'm aware of. And I can speak about Mumbai. That's where I live and I work, is Mumbai is having not just metro, it is metro, coastal road, Trans Harbour line, and then just the amount of connectivity which is happening in the city is mind-boggling. So what it does is basically giving people a lot of options on where to stay. And they don't have to be tied to, okay, I need to be near to workplace because my commute takes 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
So I would say real estate itself is changing. We are doing, a lot of developers are doing, using technology, using, a lot of tools to try to make sure that projects are done faster.
Mm.
Connectivity is helping consumers because they have a wider choice. So coming to that, so what used to happen in probably about early 2002 to 2008, the buildings are about 20 stories. Let's say talk in Bombay, and now it's 60, 70, 80, 100. How do you complete a 60-story building in a reasonable time? So people have to change. So that's, I'm talking about internal changes. And that's where a lot of wisdom of the teams and the consultants, the architects, so on and so forth come in. So this industry has grown from doing few projects to doing multiple projects of 60, 70 story. And that's a good thing for consumer. If you have a wider supply, they have a good choice. They are able to now do more things at home rather than trying to spend 2 hours, 3 hours every day. I think Bangalore has similar stories. I hear the famous, I think, Silk Road Junction you have. So we also have few spots like that, but things are improving. And those are the things where I see, real estate going in that. And if you allow me to say, India has 3 real estate consumers.
Okay.
One is ultra rich. They really don't need to take a loan or home loan. They have a reasonably good home, but they want the best. So there is that segment. Then there is this upper middle class. They have a smaller home, probably in a standalone building. They want a larger home. So from 1 bedroom to 2 bedroom, 2 bedroom to 3 bedroom. with amenities. So whether it is swimming pool or it is gymnasium or as simple as a yoga deck on the rooftop, with a little better security, good elevators, and so on and so forth. So that is that migration is also happening. Mm. And there is this third India, which is the largest in numbers. They are buying their first home. And all three will continue to happen for next 20, 25 years. So you have to decide where you want to focus and how much you want to focus. So most of the developers, the top 10, 20, for example, Rustamji, we are present across all the segments. So 50 to 60 lakhs, all the way up to 30 crores.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And once you have, you know, kind of delivered good projects, you have a good track record, you know how to handle customers, they know that, you know, certain developers are trustworthy, then I think that gamut of choices are wide open. That's where we are. A lot of choices for consumers and a lot of choices for developers. So I think it's a good time to be in.
Mm-hmm. So I remember 3 years ago, I was in Bombay for my master's, and the 2 years that I stayed at a standalone building in Tardiv. It was a rented apartment and four friends of us were staying. And the window that was placed at my room that, you know, directly overlooked the Imperial Towers. So every day we used to wake up and we used to look at the Imperial Towers, the penthouse on the top, and we used to wish like, boss, ek din ab wahan pe ghar chahiye. So that... You know, that feeling of that buying that first house is going to stay with us Indians. And I think you clearly, very beautifully put that. About the projects at Rustamji, right? They have a wide range, starting at 50, 60 and going all the way up. But I also want to dissect the real estate industry into two halves, which is the commercial and the residential. So having you also mentioned about the fact that, you know, work from home, and a lot of companies have shifted to this culture. Having said that, do you think there's a shift with respect to the number of projects that are coming up? Do you think that there's a shrinkage with respect to the commercial real estate industry vis-a-vis the residential one? Or you know, it's at par. It's not something that's going to go down soon.
So I can tell you there are cycles. Mm-hmm. So in, I think, year 2013 to year 2018, is where there was a lot of development in terms of the office projects, commercial. And residential was, I wouldn't say lull, but slightly slower than what it was. Then I think in the year 2000, just from COVID till today, because of various factors, because of partial work from home and so on and so forth, probably you have a little more supply of commercial real estate. And the desire to own a home is so great that there is very little ready supply in residential. If you look at where India is and how India is and how the top four cities are, more and more global companies are coming to India. Companies are expanding in India, even if... So we have a few layoffs here and there, but over long term, and Charmi, this is what real estate is, so a beautiful industry. What happens in year 2023 or 24 may not happen in 25. And you look at, so as people say, you know, when you invest in equities, look at long term, because over long term, yeah, it gives you compounded return. Mm-hmm. Same way, if India is growing, so will the jobs will, and so will grade A offices. Mm-hmm. And if there are more grade A offices, there's more job creation, more people will come into city and more people will want to buy home. So I wouldn't read too much into it. Maybe there is a little supply of certain offices, but as you see probably in US and also in India, due to COVID, people have realized I want a superior grade A office building. So if you try to look at it wherever, either in Pune or Bangalore or Mumbai, it's not like we have tons of supply. We may have some supply here and there, but you will probably see a stark difference between customers now demanding, I want to be in a superior building. I want my employees or our team members to be having certain facilities. Air quality has to be good. This has to be there. That has to be there. So maybe the office buildings, which do not meet this criteria, are not doing so well. So that's how I would put it. And if jobs are growing, you will need people. to be in office. So there are more people in office in 2021 compared to 20, in 22 even more, and in 23 even more, because finally, when you are building a nation, you need two people. You need people in a room. So
right.
Yes, we can do a lot of Zoom calls like we are doing, and so on and so forth. But you know, if you are visiting Mumbai, you would say, okay, Parag, let's meet up in a cafe and do this. So
yeah,
right. So right. that's how it is. So as I said, and grade A supply, in fact, due to all the connectivity getting better, you probably will have multiple CBDs or secondary business district in multiple cities. So in Bangalore, there are a few pockets. In Pune, there are 3-4 pockets, and so on and so forth. So, I see commercial also growing over long term. Residential obviously will grow. I mean, look at all billionaires, the famous billionaires. You know, they probably build a home of 1,000 crore, 2,000 crore, 5,000 crore. You can't buy a car of 5,000 crore. So home buying will continue. Office building will continue. That's not something. It's just that you have to be careful what quality of project are you building.
Right.
That's important.
So, okay, we're discussing a lot about metro cities, right? So I stayed in Bangalore as well for about half a year. And you mentioned that, you know, in what time can a decent house be built, a project can be successful. I think the real question right now for people like us is in how much time can a decent commute be built? Like with respect to Bangalore, people are frustrated with respect to the metro construction that's been going on. I mean, Bombay also, it's now, you know, started in phases. I am aware of that. But with respect to Bangalore, that's one big headache that people are having. So extrapolating that to your concern on how quickly a decent house or a project can be built, what is the duration that builders are taking today?
So it all depends. If you have a larger township, then there'll be phases, obviously. But if you talk about a decent gated estate, which has probably a few wings, two wings or three wings, and so on and so forth. So just to give you an example, we just finished, we received occupancy certificate of a project called Rustam G Seasons D Wing. And I can tell you with a lot of pride, though I was not directly involved in that project, the whole team did a fantastic work. And I think it was shared less than 2 years that they did about 20, 24 story building, which started in the COVID time.
Okay.
So it all depends. You need to have your design sorted, detailed design sorted. You need to have your funding sorted, and you need to have your project management technique and the whole process sorted. Once you have that, it's easy to replicate across projects. So I would say a good 22 story building, I don't see a reason why it cannot be done in just about 2 years.
Right.
Sometimes it takes more when you have a larger, you have a 10 acre or 50 acre plot, then there's a lot of infrastructure development that you need to do. So first set of buildings may take longer, but then this is what it is. And then larger buildings, obviously taller buildings will have a slightly larger time frame. Probably three and a half years. But also what happens is with the advanced technologies like MyOne and you know, skip formworks, you are able to probably achieve somewhere between 7 to 10 days a slab. So you could actually finish creating one slab in about 8 days.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned about some technology. Could you dive deeper into that, please?
Sure. So MyOne is a popular technology. So what used to happen earlier was people used to have this, you know, wooden formwork. You basically put the plates, wooden sheets, ply sheets, you know, you kind of join them and then put the concrete and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
What we are doing for last so many years and so many developers have been doing, you have aluminium formwork. So it's just like aluminium sheets. It's like they fix with each other like a Lego block. So you create a box and you pour the concrete. And after some time, you can just, you know, release the nuts and that whole formwork, those plates come off. You go to the next floor and you again join it. So it's basically very fast. Rather than doing it manually, You don't require a very highly skilled labor. Semi-skilled labors are fine. And once you have one or two slabs done, the laborers know exactly what to do. And if your design is same across the floors, that's how you are able to pour the whole concrete and get one slab done in about 8 to 10 days. So it's the modular formwork which allows you to have a good accuracy. And the beautiful thing about it is most of the walls are also concrete. So there is very little leakage or those kind of issues. And earlier it used to happen, you have certain walls which are concrete, certain are brick walls and so forth. So now most of the buildings use this technology and hence they are able to get a good speed with reasonably semi-skilled people. Because labor is another issue that all the industries are facing and most real estate, of course, because labor cost keeps going up in India, as you know. And as we build more projects, we need more people. So all of us, including all the industry and especially real estate, we are trying to see how can we make a building, how can you build a building with less number of people on site.
Right.
So that's where the industry is kind of growing, and India has a long way to go. But it's on the right path.
So technology is everywhere. It's become an entire industry in itself now. And with the onset of prop tech also, I've done a few projects on prop tech during my master's. And at that point of time, it was baffling to know that not one project came under India. So all the prop tech projects that I studied at that point of time came from abroad. So can you like walk us through the technological evolution that you witnessed that's happened in India in the real industry, in the real estate industry?
Sure. So if you go back about 25, 30 years, there would be a team of people on site, as in the plot where the building is, getting constructed. The design, the purchase, the sales, the collection of money, the accounting, everything would be done by a set of 4 or 5 people. Right, and people across the street or in that location would end up buying. They would buy because they know some XYZ in that company or they know the owner of the company. So from that it has evolved, and it was very easy, or not much of a technology was required, even the concrete mixing was happening on site. But these are probably ground plus 7-story, 10-story buildings. As in when, a lot of development happened, the more FSI, as in more buildable space was allowed on a particular plot, it became ground plus 20. Customers started demanding better quality. Customer started paying for better quality. Rules changed. So you have above certain height, you need to get fire, NOC, or fire department and so forth. They have certain regulation. You have multiple elevators in the building. So from basically building a small building of ground plus 4 or 7 or 10, it became a project with multiple functions. So you have architects, you have MEP, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and you have specialized people. So you had somebody who's doing only firefighting equipment. So from few people doing everything, you have now fewer people doing one thing, and they do that one thing so well, then everybody goes to them, how is this done, right? So that's how the evolution happened. And then we had a lot of earlier, probably many, many years back, probably blueprints were drawn by hand. Then came computers, from computers, the AutoCAD, and now we, a lot of developers do BIM model. Basically, it's a 3D visualization tool. Where a lot of errors. So whatever planning is done is done in 2D. But you have a lot of elements, columns, beams, slab, plumbing, so and so forth. So when you actually start building, you realize that in 2D it looked okay, but in 3D, a pipe is suddenly going through one of the columns or one of the beams. So the 3D tools help us visualize and correct those errors early on. So those are some of those things. Some of the other tools, we and a lot of developers use is trying to predict the cost. Once you do a lot of projects, you understand what is it. It gives you, because if you know your cost, you know what money do you need. right? And helps you tie up your funding either through sales or through banks and financial institutes. So it's more and more predictability, because when there is a developer who's doing 17, 18, 19, 20 projects, there is no way you can actually do all this in an Excel sheet or just go to somebody's desk and see what are you doing.
Yeah. Right?
So that's why you have dashboards, you have checkpoints, you have cost, you have, you know, so we today would know how much money would we require in next 3 months for the project, per department. Right?
Okay.
So it's all broken down into small pieces.
I think a granular dissection, you know.
Correct. And then you have a process and a checklist which makes sure that if certain purchase tender has to be issued, it has to be issued on 21st of April, tick. Tenders received, the response is received, and then you get another 10 days. And tender, as in the purchase order, has to be issued by 15th of May. So if you set that process, if you set the plan and you track it, at least your chances of error or slippage are very, very minimal. So it is basically from starting at the drawing board to scheduling, cost control, and then finally quality control. So those are the things which now you are able to, without these tools, it's not possible to do multiple projects. So companies who are doing multiple projects, they are investing in so much of tools, training of people. Even our stakeholders like architects or consultants, they use the same tools. So it's basically, rather than all coming in one room, you are able to do now. Due to COVID, I can say that everybody is so comfortable now with Zoom and, you know, Google Meet and all. So a lot of work gets done without spending a lot of time in traffic of these metro cities.
About the costing part, right? So I want to understand this from a developer point of view, that what is it that when you all are kind of deciding upon, you know, where to set up the project, I am seeing a transition today with respect to people. I'll just take the example of Bombay, right? People wanting to stay in, say, Bandra or Juhu, to people now wanting to stay in, say, Cuff Parade or Borivali, where, you know, if I wake up in Borivali, but my house overlooks a forest and hills and stuff like that. So it's not within the city that I'm staying at. So is there a shift in demand with respect to consumers, or is it that the developers are, you know, marketing these locations in such a manner that consumers are, you know, bound to kind of desire for such locations?
So it's a bit of everything. So what happens is, for example, if we at Rustamji, so we have, there is a blue and a green theme.
Okay.
So most of our projects are either, you know, there's a blue, which is a sea view, and green, which is a large garden or a forest or a national park view. So again, what happens is, it's basically what kind of, see, there are customers across the segment. There are customers who will buy a home next to a railway station if there is a noise, but it you as a developer, you want to define which segment I want to be present in, and in which segment I can actually create the best value. So if I think I can create a lot of value for buyers, and the buyers with a good taste and who would want to stay in a good home, and then it becomes rewarding for us to go and execute that project, to back that project, right? Which may come at a certain price, but that's how it is. So and slowly people have, again, go back 40, 50 years, the preferred homes were which were near railway stations in Mumbai.
Right.
So, but basically, in advertisement, it's 2 minutes walking from railway station.
Right
now, if you say 2 minutes from railway station, people will not even visit.
Correct.
So, what has happened is, due to the change in the ownership or transport, a lot of people probably trying to, or now have cars, they don't have to go to railway station, especially with metros. Now, they really don't have to. And they realize, after a long, hard day of work, I want to actually come home, which is in a peaceful location, and not have a lot of traffic and chaos near my home. So they are preferring that. And hence, developers are also going and offering those homes. So it becomes, for us, a better strategy. We are able to attract better people. And we are one of the few ones who have that projects in our pipeline. And where if others don't have it, As I said, in Mumbai, there's a spectrum of buyers, and the buyers with good taste and with good budget would want to buy in such places.
Right. So having discussed about the cost side from the developer's point of view, I want to come to the customer's point of view. And I know there's a set of segment that, you know, will go and look to buy the houses. But for people like me who are in their mid-20s and, you know, not have not earned enough to buy our first house yet, but want to, say, capture on the real estate industry. We have today's REITs listed in India. Even Rustam Ji is listed in India. What is your take on, you know, investing into those kind of products? Just to, you know, have a, what do I say, allocation towards real estate.
Sure. So, as you say, most people, when they say real estate as an investment, it's a very broad subject. Real estate has a lot of classes of segments. So one is residential, other is office, for which there are a couple of REITs now. The third segment is warehousing. There is also data centers. There is also a second home, a home in Goa, which every Indian wants to buy. Right, so and so forth, and somebody will say, I'll buy a home in Nainital or whatever. So I'll classify into two parts. First, you said the younger people who would want to buy home at some point of time, and they would want to buy it now, but they probably need to collect enough capital to
You're
buy it as
right.
a down payment. So I it's not an advice. I can just say that's a time frame for yourself. So you know that if you want to buy a home, let's take a theoretical number. Let's say 1 crore. You know that you will probably want to put down 20-25%. The rest you can if you earn, you can live off it.
EMIs.
Right? So 25 lakhs is your target. Work backwards. Say in 3 years I want to collect 25 lakhs. Right, so start saving towards that. And I'm not saying don't enjoy other part, but rather than taking, let's say, a tour of Europe, which will cost you 5 lakh rupees, that 5 lakh rupees goes in your home initial investment kind of a fund or a bucket.
Correct.
For that, if you need to probably invest, equity is also a good option over 3 years. Right, and there are a lot of other options, so that is something which people need to consciously. If you don't work on it consciously, you will have hajar things in life that you can buy with that 5 lakh rupees. So I would see it because the amount of wealth creation also happens through home ownership is very good because India is one of the few countries which has very good tax benefits on home buying. Right, so you are creating a wealth. Home prices are increasing, and then second, you're getting tax benefits, so it's obviously a good thing. There's a lot of this argument. I may not stay at a city. I want to ship the home and so on and so forth. But it's well, if you really with all the connectivity, where you stay probably may not be that important. I would say because now you're able to crisscross in a city very easily. And even if you were to, let's say, go to a different city, you rent your home and you actually take a home in a different city on rent, at least that financial offset will happen. Now, coming to the investment part, somebody who has investable corpus and how you want to, really want to invest, real estate also takes a lot of capital to buy, especially homes. And that's why, as you say, I mean, you are a better person to explain the REITs are, but REITs are basically like mutual funds. So you have a large mall or office complex, and probably that's worth 2,000 crore. You don't have 2,000 crore. So 2,000 crores worth of asset is cut into small pieces, where somebody with a 2 lakh or a 5 lakh rupees could go and buy. So that is something, but by nature, also office assets have a higher rental income, but maybe a lesser wealth creation. So it's slightly better than FD. Maybe it gives about 7%, 8%, 9%. So that is also a good option. I would just suggest not because I am from real estate industry. I must say that everybody should buy only real estate as an investment. But have a good diversified portfolio. And if you are buying a home, buy home either as an investment, whatever, in a place where it is easy for you to manage. Sitting in Bangalore, you buy an apartment in Jaipur, how easily can you really manage? Right? So this is something which you can see and feel, or you have friends or a relative. So buy in a location of your comfort, location very well. You understand the triggers, why something will appreciate in certain pockets of a city versus other pockets. So everybody in their city, you obviously know ki yahan se, you know, this is where it's going to come. This bridge will be coming here, and it's a nice seafront, and this will appreciate in about 4 or 5 years. So those are the thought process people should. And another thing, I'll tell you why to invest in real estate. Real estate is actually a very idiot-proof investment.
Can you go deep?
Why I'm saying this is, so for example, during COVID, when it just started in the month of March and April, when the shares went down, a lot of people probably just sold their equities, right? And there are people who probably sold it even they did not need so much money, but it's very easy to sell equity, right?
Yeah.
Two buttons on your mobile and it's done, sold. Real estate is not that easy. And hence, most people waited. And once we came out of COVID, there was no need to sell because, you know, prices again went up.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it is, you can't sell a home in an anger. Okay, let me go and sell in next 30 minutes. So whatever are your emotions, it'll get settled down. And then you will say, oh, good, I did not sell it, or I could not sell it online. So, and what happens is when you want to pass wealth through generations, real estate as a part of the estate planning, which is your subject, is a very good tool for you to pass on the wealth. And that's what people, a lot of rich people, a lot of, you know, middle class people do all over the world, not just in India.
Yeah.
So that way I would say that's a good tool. You know, when your kids, your grandkids, if they have a place to stay, then rest can be figured out. So that is something which is a good, I would say, you know, idiot-proof investment. which is, if you are able to do that and arrange as your estate planning or your, you know, generational wealth transfer.
Got it. I mean, very well put. I this is going to be my takeaway from the session, that real estate is an idiot-proof investment. So, great. I would just like to end this conversation with one question that, you know, you talked about the location, the desirable location and stuff like that. So what is the stance on real estate industry today? Is this the time to, you know, invest right now with respect to, you know, putting my corpus aside? Or do you think that, you know, the industry is at its peak with respect to investment prices?
So there's something called affordability index. Right, which is, so if you go to HDFC's website, they've been publishing it for last about 20-25 years. And that will tell you the affordability is probably at the best, or probably about 6 months back, it was at the best. The interest rates have moved up a little bit right now. There is never a bad time or a good time to buy home. It depends on only two or three things. Do you have good finances in place? Do you have a trigger to buy? You know, trigger as in a need, as in, are you already in a good home? Or so I see a lot of people, when they get married, they want to actually get into a different house or different location. They want to express themselves as an individual family rather than staying with somebody and, you know, so and so forth. When people earn, parents are in a different city, you are in a different city, then this is okay, let me buy something small. You feel a sense of achievement. So I think assess your need, assess your financial ability, and assess your other needs over the next 5 years. You will have EMIs, what are my other needs, and so on and so forth. Home, those who have never bought, I can tell you that it's a feeling that you will, you can't describe. First home, I can tell you that first home is always special. When you buy a first home, it feels like you're actually on the top of Mount Everest. And that's why we all are in this industry. When you do the handover process of people, the joy of the families, the kids, the elders, you know, the couple. I mean, they have actually built their home mentally over the last 2-3 years already. So that expression or that emotions can never be compared. So assess your situation. In a way, home could be a little more expensive or a little less expensive. But every year, so this is another thing. Your home is going to be, expensive most of the years year on year. Have you ever seen a laborer taking less money next year?
No.
If you have a driver, a plumber, an employee, or whoever it is, right? Everybody makes at least 5%, 10%, 15% more.
Yeah.
It's the same set of people the real estate developers or construction companies also deploy, right? So your labor cost is going up. Your material cost almost always goes up. Sometimes in single digit, sometimes in double digit, sometimes in triple digit, which happened last year in the Ukraine, crisis. And then you have limited space. Yes, cities are expanding, but the prime real estate is always limited. So year on year, there will be a growth in terms of the prices of real estate. So you have to figure out what is it that will make you comfortable to buy. And not come under distress. And if that moment is today, go and buy. If you like something, go and buy. I'll give you a small example of mine. I bought my first apartment in Mumbai in 2004. Just when I booked, after that, there was a change in the government. It was, I think, the Vajpayee government, and then they were expected to win, and they did not, and Congress government came in. And few of my relatives said, Parag, real estate prices are going to crash 20%, 30%, don't buy right now. I went on with my purchase.
And
in about 3 years, that flat I sold for double the price.
Okay.
It did not go down. It just went up like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those times were different. But I'm saying it is, you have to take a call and not let somebody else take a call. If you are a wise, sensible person, you will make a right choice.
Superb. Great. I think that's a well-concluded answer to this podcast. I'd just like to end it with my signature rapid-fire round. So 5 words and I'll begin. So the first word being RERA.
Something which is required, and it helps developers and consumers both.
Okay. Customers.
In the center of universe for real estate.
Okay. Green versus blue. What is your theme?
I would ideally want to have both.
If you had to pick one.
Blue.
Okay, great. Fourth one being Rustamji.
Rustamji, great company and thoughtful homes.
Okay. And the last one being Parag.
Parag, optimist and very high on India, and want to, I believe real estate industry is a nation building. So I would want to be in this industry till the time, my hands and legs and brain and eyes are working. I'll never retire from real estate.
Awesome. Great, Parag. Thanks for doing this. And thanks for being a part of Economically Yours. I'm honored to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charmi. You're doing a great job, and keep doing this, and let's build India together.